This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Five-hour energy. Go. When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Well, Curtis, with a reality check and a good one. When it comes to Mike McDaniel or to Sean McVay or to others who are suggesting that you found your guy in Drake May, I guess there were many who felt like the Patriots had found their guy in Mac Jones.
To be fair, those were all delusional people in media, but you know,
and there was only a handful of them.
Oh, believe me, we could have more. We have, you know, concise, had to be down under 30 seconds. I could have done Ryan Clark. I could have gone up and down the list.
Orlowski.
No, I think Sean is right. Like you didn't hear head coaches.
Better than Brady. Boomer Esiason.
You didn't hear, but Sean's right. You didn't hear head coaches talking about how great Mac Jones was. Right.
They were giving Mac Jones the Bill Belichick treatment. Yeah, he can make all the throws.
With all due respect, Greg, coaches are dishonest with the media. They're not a great person to ask.
McVay and McDaniel have been pretty honest.
McVay and McDaniel, if May sucked, wouldn't say he sucked.
McVay literally laughed at you when you drafted Cole Strange.
Okay, that's a horrific analogy.
What do you mean it's horrific? He was in front of the media and he laughed at you.
Right, because he knew Cole Strange would never do anything in the NFL. If you're
Cole Strange is back, by the way.
He is.
But, Shime, if you're a starting quarterback in the NFL that they may face again, they will never say anything negative about
McVay's
you.
McVay's not going to have to face him for like another 4 years.
I will say Orlovsky.
Compare it to Cole Strange is
laughable. Orlovsky was a big Mac guy, obviously, but 39 minutes ago had a pretty good tweet of a stat for Drake May. Way more precise than I expected. He's the only... Did you already say this?
We just heard it.
Yeah. I gave that stat in the last segment.
Oh,
I read the tweet.
That's the go ahead, read it.
Your mind is on Wicked. No, I mean,
I just came across my desk, and I'm sorry, Shime. I should be listening to you. I was writing the news.
Go ahead.
It's my fault.
Because it's something about the off-air throws.
He's the
only qualified like 2 hours ago.
Hold on.
And I was writing 2 hours ago.
Look, remember, the audience changes every 15 minutes, Courtney, and radio.
He's the only qualified quarterback who has been off target on less than 10% of his throws this season. He had two misses on 64 throws in his last two games, snipering.
There you go.
I apologize, Shime.
Nope.
That is my mistake.
It's all good.
I think that's a good thing because Shime had that like maybe 17 minutes ago.
One thing is certain. If Bill gets the Jacksonville job, Mac Jones is going to be looking for a new place to ply his trade.
Amen.
Almost immediately, I would assume. All right, Shime, let's get to this.
It's time for...
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll grill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
All right, a lot of audio today, so rare they said it, part deux. And a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. Where should we begin, Shime?
Well, Greg, hopefully it's better than the Joker part they do. But here is Charlie McAvoy yesterday following the Don Sweeney and Joe Sacco press conferences talking about the firing of Montgomery and moving forward as a team.
At this point, it doesn't. And honestly, I couldn't point my finger on it. Yeah, you want to go back to camp or the beginning of the season or whatever it was, we lost it. We lost it for a minute. And this is life, and these things happen, you know. But today you wake up and you realize that you still have the best job in the world, playing for the best team in the world, the best organization in this game. I'm lucky and I'm blessed to be here, and today was a day of gratification, you know, self-reflection, and then realizing that, holy, we have 62 games left and we're still in a playoff spot or somewhere near it. So we got everything to play for, and that's the crest, that's each other, that's everything. and it's all going to be all right.
So what does that mean they lost it? They lost the desire? They lost the vibe?
That's a problem. Guys, and I hate to be that person, but if you're making millions and millions of dollars, but if you just lost it, the loss to Will?
Nope, they lost the, like, they don't like the coach.
That's not an excuse anymore. It's the second coach in 3 years. You can't do that.
That's the human nature of the human being. When I don't like working for somebody, granted, there are people who power through it, and I'm not saying there aren't. But there are a lot of people, it's human nature. I don't like this jackass I'm working for. You're not getting everything out of me, especially nowadays with these. How many times do...
But how come, what if every time, Curtis is spot on when he says this, every time you have to work for somebody, you think they're a jackass. Like,
Greg, you have a lead, you know, once every couple of weeks on the way the younger generation, I won't just put it in the millennial category, but the way the younger generation is like quiet quitting.
I don't want to be yelled at.
Stress bragging.
I don't want to be told what to do at work.
But they did that for them, and they gave them a guy that seemed like a yes guy that wasn't going to be mean to them. So they did two ends of the spectrum.
But then he got mean, or he changed on who he is. So you gave us a guy that he changed, and I don't agree with it. The players should just have enough balls to just come out and say, you know what? We didn't do what we were supposed to do. We were lazy. We were this. We didn't like the guy that was coaching us, and we didn't give him our 150%.
What?
Curtis had said something to me, and I laughed. I didn't realize my mic was still on. My apologies.
What did he say?
Even funny off the air.
he slid something across my desk. Did you see this Dan Orlovsky tweet? He said that Drake May is, of all the quarterbacks in the league,
I apologize. We all don't listen to each other sometimes.
That is true. That is true.
The audience is always changing.
Curtis, did you know Subway is offering free sandwiches if you change your middle name to Subway?
I still think someone scrubbed that, because that had to have been said.
Yeah, I don't know. Brad Marchand, David Pastrnak, Charlie McAvoy, they all said they feel horrible about what happened to Jim Montgomery.
But they're not taking accountability.
Like, honestly, if you're a fan, right, there's nobody, we all love our teams, but there's no fan base that has a more personal relationship with their players than Bruins fans. It's like part of the family. You hear it from Maria whenever she calls in. Why do you, like, who on this team is someone you like rooting for? Like, Brad Marchand had every opportunity, Charlie McAvoy had every opportunity to stand up and defend the coach that they now say they loved, and they did nothing because they were complicit in his firing. Like,
I mean, do you buy that they were all pissed at the money that Swayman got?
If they are, they're even more pathetic.
Yeah, that would just be...
You buy that?
I don't necessarily buy that, because you know as a player, like... It doesn't matter what the guy next to me is making. He's trying to do everything in his power to maximize his earning potential.
But that was when you were playing.
But even today.
But Wiggy, can I ask you a question? Would you have been mad? So because the NHL is a hard cap, would you have been mad if by signing Swayman it prevented you from getting a contract extension? Guys like Frederick and Marchand in particular, who are on the last year of their deal, would be up for a contract extension. But because they signed Swayman to so much, they have no cap space to sign those guys to extensions.
No, I wouldn't be mad at Swayman for that. I would be mad at the...
Well, it seems like that's what the issue was.
Or at least part of it.
But if that's the case, Greg, right? Let's say that there was a precarious situation with the players and the front office and Swayman. Then why does Neely make it so public and make this threat about, you know, there's 64 million reasons why?
Yeah.
Like, if you feel like the room is not coalescing because of what's going on with this negotiation, why do you attack the guy only to capitulate and give him the contract
anyway?
Maybe
that's what it was. Like, maybe the holdout was going on, and Cam Neely stepped up there and said, wait a minute. We're willing to pay him $8 million a year, and those guys were like, "Are you kidding me?" Like, so the $8 million a year has been on the table. Like, why don't we have our goaltender here? I don't know. We're here. Why isn't Jeremy Swayman here?
If those guys really did that, I would be like, "Listen, come on, that is a low. That is a low move for you as a player to be." upset at another guy because he's getting money and you feel like you're not getting money, then you know what?
Well, you heard Brad Marchand say we don't talk about our contracts publicly or whatever. So,
but Swayman, Swayman's in a position where he feels like I need to utilize my leverage. Like that's one thing that I don't think there's a brotherhood in all of sports. And in every sport, you're supposed to never, never put your brother on blast
unless
for wanting more
money. Unless you're playing for a franchise where you're Charlie McAvoy and you had to fight in your previous deal to even get $5 million.
So McAvoy should understand what Swayman's going through. He should know how difficult it is. Just like every
player. But he may look at it like, all right, there's a rookie, a guy who's coming off, a couple years ago, his rookie season. And who's he to be holding out? Nobody ever holds out when it comes to the Boston Bruins.
If a player's doing that, then I would question that player and really how he feels about his teammates making money.
And how much is McAvoy making?
Well, he's now up around 7.5, I would.
Wasn't it closer to 9?
Yeah, I thought he was.
So he and David Pastrnak are the two highest paid players on that team. Pasta's deal was like 10 years, $88 million or something, right?
Yeah, so McAvoy's just over $9 million a year.
Okay.
And Pasta's at 11.
But you remember around Torrey Krug time, Torrey Krug wanted $6 million and Charlie McAvoy was making 5.5, and the Bruins were not willing to pay Torrey Krug more than they were going to pay Charlie McAvoy, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, well, for a long time, they used Patrice Bergeron as that. Like, they're right. Like, hey, we pay Patrice 6.7. You can't make more than Bergeron. He's the best player on the team.
And that's why there were guys that didn't like the Brady approach to it when Brady played and was like, oh, I'll take less money because all you're doing is hurting us. Your brothers who, when we come up for contracts, they're going to say, well, if Tom Brady's taking X amount of dollars, why won't you? Where Swayman, I think Swayman and those players should not be upset because Swayman's asking for more money just because
they... Well, if it's not that, what was it? So they showed up at training camp and they're like, we're the Boston Bruins and we had the best record in the NHL a couple seasons ago. And so we're going to walk our way through training camp and we're going to coast our way to December. Like, it's either one of the two things.
Well, I told you...
Right. I think he might be a jerk. Like, the guys might not like him, Swayman.
But even
because
if they
then
don't
you go
like
back
him.
To Brad Marchand during the entire thing. He had weird comments about speaking publicly about how you were feeling.
Even if
I won't ever talk about contract stuff.
Even if you don't like a person, you know what it's like to have to go through that.
So if you don't like a coach, you stop playing. But if you don't like a player, then...
If you don't like a teammate, you shouldn't be saying, oh, this guy shouldn't be talking about his contract. He shouldn't be getting this. I should be getting... Like, that's something you... If you and I...
They feel a certain type of way.
But it doesn't matter. If you and I don't like each other and we're on this...
It would never happen.
No, it would never happen. But we should never be... criticizing each other, or I should never be criticizing you because you're holding out trying to get more money. It's part of the brotherhood that we know what it's like to be a player and what it's like to be able to capitalize on your talent in that moment of where you are to get your best possible deal. Yeah. And I should know that. Mm. You know, I should know that coming
so
up.
So you're
that
playing
way.
For the Patriots and you've been there for a long time. Yeah. You're a veteran. And you're making $8 million, $7.5 million, and the Patriots are going to give a rookie a year removed, and a guy who's never played a full season, they're going to give him $8.5 million.
Right.
And that's not good enough. He's holding out for 10. He's not there for training camp, and you're not going to be bothered by that at all?
Do they want the money to go to Jeremy Jacobs to buy a yacht or for his son to go buy another racehorse? Like, who cares?
And he's not a rookie because he had played 3 or 4 seasons. The one thing that we were upset with in the NFLPA, you know, they kind of stood on business and it changed. We were upset when we were players and I was a veteran. Let's say I was, you know, making $1 million. And then here comes a rookie who just got drafted and they were making way more than what I was making. And they hadn't done anything in the NFL, where at least Swayman had played. He showed.
Hadn't played a full season.
No, he hadn't played a full season, but he played enough for me not to be like, to be like, well, who's this dude making money?
Yeah. This is TC. Hey, TC.
What's up, guys? So, remember when I had called and told you when before this thing was signed, and I said, how does a guy like Marshawn feel? How about these guys that took less for the betterment of the team? Now, here's the deal, Wiggy. You can't compare football because it's not guaranteed money, so it's a completely different ballgame. But like I said then, the reason why this is a thing with hockey is a character game. It's a character game. I hate that. I know you guys. It's the most character game of them all by a mile. So you need to have character.
Do you need character?
Jeremy Swayman's talking about setting up the goalie market. He's not talking about his team. He's talking about all these other goalies that aren't on his team. He's when he's comparing himself, saying, "Oh, my agent told me that I was like Johnny Gaudreau." What happened with them was an absolutely disgusting thing. Don't put yourself in that category, you idiot. So, anyways, I wouldn't be surprised they don't like Swayman. They didn't like how that went down because it's a lack of character, and character is what wins the Stanley Cup and why it's the greatest sport in the world. Because it's the most character game, and you need character.
TC, how is it more character than football? Why is it more character? I don't even know what you're saying. What does that mean?
Well, character. Look at all the clowns that you see in the news, in the NBA, the NFL, all these bozos.
What?
You never see
Wiggy's been waiting
like
for
that.
This call.
The blue moon. It's the most character game there is.
You
it's
can't
just a fact,
use the word to define
life.
It. What are you trying to say by character?
Good person. Good morals. Sacrifice. Selflessness.
Milan Lucic.
Not selfish.
Well,
that's
you,
what
did,
it is. It's did, just a fact did, of life.
TC,
when
did,
you flick a light switch and everything
TC,
hooked up right and there's a did, working light bulb,
didn't
it goes on.
Didn't both of the Bruins captains get their coach fired because they didn't like him? First Bergeron with Cassidy, and then Marchand with Montgomery.
You think Patrice Bergeron's not a stand-up guy? You think Patrice Bergeron is not one of the most best character guys in the history of
no,
Boston
no, no, but
sports.
we're just talking about
Patrice Bergeron is not.
We're talking about guys who didn't like their coach,
right,
and went and said, listen, you need to make a change there.
Right.
I understand what you're saying.
So that,
but he didn't have the balls to do it, and he hid behind the decision, and if that's a Red Sox or a Celtic, then we ripped them, but it's the Bruins and it's St. Patrice.
No. So you're telling me that Montgomery's gone because Brad Marchand...
No. I'm telling you that Brad Marchand and then separately Patrice Bergeron could have publicly stated their desire for their coach to remain. They could have played harder for them, and they allowed him to get fired and are acting like the blood is not on their hands when they have the most power of any player in that organization.
I agree, 100%. Absolutely agree with you. That's a very valid point, and I don't disagree one bit.
Not high character.
No. Slow down, because what you're making it out to be is that those guys went to the office and said, fire the coach or I'm out of here. That's what you're making it sound to be.
No, the opposite is true, and they didn't.
Don't fire the guy.
No.
They could have said that.
Curtis is right. They could have. It's a little, disingenuous, whatever it is, to stand up there and talk about how upset you are.
Right.
This is an awful day for us when you didn't play for the guy.
Right.
And you didn't stand up publicly and say, when you knew everybody was talking about it,
right,
that we want the guy to stay here. It's on us. It's not on Jim Montgomery. It's on us.
Take a page out of some basketball player and football players' books where we heard Jason Tatum sat up here and goes, we got to do better. I play like crap. I can't be that guy. I got to be a guy that goes out there and is able to win games for us. When they lose to Golden State.
Or Jonathan Jones last week.
Yeah, or Jonathan Jones, or football players. We've heard Tom Brady numerous times go, I have to play better. I can't. We hear Drake May say it.
Yeah.
So why not, and Curtis brought this up, and I know we're up against it, but Curtis made a great point. Why not last week or 2 weeks ago, Marchand, Pastor, all those guys go, we need to do better as players. Don't put it on the coach. We got to do a better job.
Yeah.
And if Curtis made a great point. If he does that, he's still here. And TC's character that he's talking about is guys off the field having issues.
Yeah,
there are more guys in the NBA and maybe the
NFL
that might have issues. But guess what? There are a lot of guys that have issues off the field in every sport, whether it's Evander Kane in hockey, But there are a lot of great guys that don't have issues in all of the sports. So let's not go to that element of it.
All right, we'll continue with the rest of They Said It coming up right now, Courtney, and what is trending this hour.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99. The Bruins are back in action tonight. They have Utah at the TD Garden. Puck drop is at 7. Thursday Night Football has the Steelers at the Browns. Kickoff at 8:15. You can listen to that right here on EEI. In some Pats news, three players moved one step closer to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Adam Vinatieri, Rodney Harrison, and Vince Wilfork were among the 25 modern era candidates for the class of 2025. And cozy up to irresistible new fall flavors at the 99 restaurant, like the freshly baked home-style chicken pot pie packed with chicken and topped with a buttery, flaky crust, or the creamy short rib mac and cheese. You gotta love the nines. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
I hate to do this to you, Greg. Updated modeling. Now, not 3 to 5, 4 to 5 inches of snow, Friday the 29th of November in the city of Boston.
You need a catchy storm name. White Friday.
Ooh, that's called the Seaport.
The Thanks Easter or something like that, Curtis.
I'll workshop it.
Okay.
47 degrees in Boston. It's raining.
The general manager of the Boston Bruins, Don Sweeney, yesterday. Curtis, you're being accused on the Subaru of New England text line of fraudulence with regard to the suggestion that these players wanted Jim Montgomery to go. And the 617 texter says, there is no reporting anywhere that says that. I mean, there's no reporting on any of this. So
no, it's just speculation.
The only real reporting is the reporting on the Jeremy Swayman issue when it came to his deal.
Right. And Blue Ocean's Al reported that, what day it was, a couple days ago, where basically that Fluto said that the locker room had a strained relationship. The exact quote from Fluto in The Athletic reads, "What's done is done. Swayman's priority is to find his confidence, clean up his game, and prove to his teammates that he was right to play hardball." Which, that in and of itself, you absolute losers. Right to play hardball? You have collectively bargained agreements that are grown and risen based on the other players seeking new money that wasn't in your contract, so that when you negotiate, the market has been reset. Fluto continues, if Swayman continues to take backward steps, he will not have many friends left in the dressing room. So,
That's crazy. That is crazy.
Well, if you are the other players, though, and you're putting in the work going into the season, and then you're watching Jeremy Swayman hold out, the brotherhood also exists both ways. So they might be looking at him saying, like, oh, man, like, we got to be better than we were last season, and we're going to start off. Maybe they believe the rust situation. He's not playing as well because he didn't have as much time as they did. I can understand why those players could be, especially if they don't like him.
About holding out. You could say, you know, he should have been here or should have been working.
But we understand why he isn't.
Right.
Like, you could be mad at him and say, ah, man, we could have used you during training camp, but we get it. But to see, like,
I guess you can kind of understand it. Like, they're all there, they want to advance further in the playoffs. This is Brad Marchand's, the end of his run.
Right.
And so, wait a minute, this guy is not showing, the rest of us are showing up, and this guy isn't showing up.
What if he showed up when he finally got the deal done? If he shows up and he's out of shape or hasn't been putting in the work outside of the team, then the guys,
Be mad at him. They should be mad at? Turn your attention to Sweeney and Naley. Get the deal done.
Right.
So, this tells me one of two things. You either should be mad at Sweeney and Naley for getting the deal done, or I don't know what the word I would use, but you're so jealous that you don't think Swayman is worth $8.2 million. Because you're like, why the hell is this guy holding out? He's not worth that money. Get your ass here. Take the $6 million that they want to give you and shut the hell up.
Right.
Because that's what you're worth.
And if Neely is right that he had 64 million reasons to show up, so you held out, you precluded him from showing up over $500,000? Like, so, Sweetie, and Neely, why couldn't you just get there? It's honestly, it'd be one thing.
Well, but wasn't it, wasn't over $500,000.
A year.
It was, but what I'm saying is, I think Rich have Jeremy Swayman looking for upwards of 10?
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
Right.
So,
and the Chicklets guy, or Spitting Chitlets guy, I can't remember which one it was, said the offer was around 6 initially.
Yeah, 6.2.
So there's a massive gap if you're Swayman. If you're Swayman's looking for close to 10 and they're offering around 6, whoa, we have a massive gap on where we see me as a player and where you see me as a player.
And last year at the hearing, which was the arbitration deal that went awry,
that really upset Jeremy Swayman,
they could have done a 2-year pact that would have removed all of this. So if you really want to go back to the beginning, the organization effed this up from top to bottom.
Bingo.
And the players, as the great Bill Parcells, he coached Wiggy, you give players an excuse, they'll take it. And that's what they keep doing. The whole organization, yesterday, Greg, the cut we played with Sweeney, saying, now this all falls on me. Oh, that's very, you know, convenient for you, Don, because you just fired a guy. Now you're taking accountability.
So do you think, Greg, do you think the players don't believe Swayman is worth $8 million or $8.2 is what he's getting? Because if they're going to be upset that he held out and did all this, that tells me that they feel he's not worth that money.
It's alarming that that reporting is that if he doesn't, you know, start playing well, that he's not going to have very many friends left in the locker room. Like, he doesn't have them now.
Well, what if he says, you know, like, how about you guys, hey, Marchand, how about you put the puck in the net?
But you also have to, like, when Charlie McAvoy says we lost it, like, what is it?
That I don't know.
It seems like they were pissed about that deal and then just decided they're not going to play.
That is so petty and jealous. That would honestly be like your boy, Pete Pritch, being upset that D. White got a big max deal and Pritch is going, wait a second. I do just as well.
Seems like a character issue.
We lost it.
Yeah, like,
but I mean, it does. I'm sure it happens.
No, I think what guys do. Here's what guys do, and I've been around it before. I'll see a guy who's playing my position, who's getting paid, and I'll be like, I can't believe. And I'm telling my close group of friends, like, damn, I can't believe this dude is making that much money, and I'm making this. But I know that's the nature of the game. Yeah. That's how it works.
You say that here about Curtis.
Well, that's how the nature. But I say it behind the scenes.
I make a lot of money. That would be news behind to the me. Scenes.
Can I also just give, this is for Scheim. Dan Orlovsky just released his top quarterbacks redrafting.
Oh.
Do you want to know who's number one?
Yeah, he has Jaden Daniels, I believe.
Jaden Daniels, number one. Drake May, number two.
Did you see his retweet of that?
Wrestled not putting May at number one. I did.
Yeah, I could see that.
All right.
Just wanted to beat Sean at that.
That's low character, Greg, is for hockey guys to be upset that their buddy, their teammate, is making more money. That, to me, isn't a high character guy.
That's a low character.
Yeah, because if you are a high character, it'd be like, hey, listen, more power to you. Even though I remember Wesley Wall stood up and he played tight end for the Carolina Panthers. Great tight end, Wesley Walls. Stands up at the end of practice. We weren't playing well, or there was some issues. He stands up and he goes, listen, I don't like half of you MFers. But just show up and play. That's all I care about.
All right. Well, before we go, we should get to the Mayo situation with the Crafts calling around. Because we have an update from the source. Is that correct?
We do.
Ooh.
Okay. All right. We'll get to that before we go. Breaking, Curtis, as the Red Sox endeavor to spend a boatload of money this offseason, they are confirming that they had yet another PowerPoint pitch meeting with none other than Blake Snell. So
PowerPoint. I got to tell you, Sam Kennedy is hammered, and I love it.
A lot of meetings.
Oof. You know what? I love a good meeting. Aren't those fun?
A lot of meetings.
By the way, quick note before we get to Breer and the NFL. Did you see the ratings for the Chiefs-Bills game?
Yes. You and I were discussing this
earlier this morning. I don't remember.
It's got to be high, right?
32 million.
Higher than the NBA Finals. Right. Higher than, Scheim. Higher than, I mean. Unbelievable ratings for that game.
Highest rated non-Thanksgiving game in the NFL since the Patriots, since they last had a team vying for an undefeated season, 2007.
So we were so excited about that matchup. I mean, you know, Josh Allen versus Patrick Mahomes and the way Josh Allen was playing. I think all those games.
Thank God the Golden Bachelor had ended. Like they would have lost some to that.
Like you brought up Netflix and their Christmas Day games. Like, think about those games, because it's Baltimore versus
Houston.
Houston, that's going to be a really good matchup. And then who's the other game?
Kansas City, Pittsburgh.
Kansas City, like, so, like, when you get those type of matchups.
Santa came early.
Yeah, it's football. You can't compete. So
I mean, it's not near the 60 million people who tuned in to see Tyson and Jake Paul.
Right. Or the 5 billion people who watched YouTube, Trump and Rogan. But, Greg, one thing, and Courtney is brought this up accurately. We spoke about it yesterday with Mago, the Celtics, the disdain nationally for the Celtics, right?
Yeah.
I wonder if it's because they're not a good ratings creator, because the undefeated Cavs come to town and it does sub 2 million viewers on TNT nationally, where you have, I mean, that's a great matchup. Yeah. I don't think there's a better one at this point of the season.
Right, but what would be their best match? Like, what would be their highest numbers? I don't
Four, 3 to 5 million in a really good regular season game.
Right, so I kind of feel like I don't even know if you would get that.
Caitlin Clark does better numbers than that.
Right, but she moves the needle. The NBA.
So shouldn't the Celtics move the needle?
Not like Caitlin Clark.
But that's what I'm talking about. So that's maybe why people are, like, tired of them, is that they're not generating the ratings.
Right,
that they
but I guess I'm saying if it was. Who's two other really good teams? Dallas and...
Wait, I just quickly, Game Dog, stop it, Curtis. It's because they win and it's Boston. Oh, yeah, the Patriots had the highest rated games every year. They won, they're from Boston, and they were hated. And it's not about other sports. In the NFL, nobody was a ratings juggernaut.
I just think in basketball, it really wouldn't matter. If it was
in 2010, they had huge numbers.
Well, I don't know what happened. But if it was like Phoenix and Dallas, right, on TNT, which are two very good teams, I bet it does the same thing.
I mean, what, Celtics, Lakers? I mean,
It could also be like NBA Cup. People think that that's lame.
Maybe.
It's still a game. Yeah, I understand that that it's towards the record, but.
Yeah. But it's a regular season basketball game. How many people tune in?
All right, one final, they said it before we go, and Jones and Keith get in here, and that is just because we talked about it at length this week. We talked about it with Gerard Mayo on Monday. So Albert Breer has, I guess, tentatively affirmed that his reporting is accurate on the Kraft's calling around, Curtis.
Ken actually was thankfully sent this to us. This was him last night on Boston Sports Tonight.
Look, like I'm obviously going to stand by my reporting. I know for a fact what happened, and I don't blame, and I defended the Kraft sitting here for doing it, because I do think it's the most important thing is what the next 3 or 4 years look like for Drake May. And so making sure that you have the right information on what's happening with your quarterback now, you have perspective on what's happening with your quarterback right now, and you're getting advice from smart people on where you're going with your quarterback is not a bad thing to do. This sort of thing can happen in casual conversation with people. They, through 30 years of ownership, have a lot of relationships with people who've worked for them. They've got relationships with people who haven't worked for them. And so I think using those resources is a smart thing. It wasn't my intention to make it look like the Kraft's were undermining Mayo, but I could see how it could be put that way. And I don't think it was their intention to do it either. But, like, this is, again, like, I think it's part of their process for, like, now it looks like we have a real one. You know, it looks like we've got a quarterback that we can build around for the next 10 to 15 years. So we're going to turn over every rock we possibly can to make sure that we do right by Cam.
Oh, boy. So, Gerard Mayo said on this show it's false,
right.
And Albert Breer is sticking by the fact that it is not.
Well, no, Albert Breer's changing the wording. Right. It could have been a casual conversation, and it's just asking for some advice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They didn't mean to undermine him.
Yeah, yeah.
What a great poll. Yeah, they didn't mean to undermine.
It wasn't like they were calling people. Mm-hmm. It just could have been a casual conversation that he's having with one of the many people they've met in a 30-year period of owning a team and saying, hey, you've had a young quarterback before. What are some of the, the pros and cons? And the owner goes, hey, do this, do that, do this. Okay. And then Albert Breer gets it. And then when he puts out, what do they call it, Courtney, and the world of newspaper,
a headline?
Is it just that? I thought it was like the header or something.
Why
like
are you asking
byline?
Why are you asking Courtney about the newspaper?
Is that, that no, like not, I, not that
Courtney
well,
Smart.
It was before her time, the newspaper.
But like, you know, she went to school for
clickbait,
that.
Is that what you're
referring to? Right, but there was a name for when the newspaper put out the headline that got your attention. They wanted it to be salacious, right?
Well, that's clickbait.
Yes.
Right, but there was a name for before clickbait, before you could click
that's
on it.
Before my time, yeah.
Right.
Greg's
so
right.
His headline could have maybe worded it better.
Yes.
He made it sound like they picked up the phone and was like, hey, listen, we got a massive problem here. Help us with our young quarterback.
Oh, you're right. I mean, when Courtney was growing up, she used to say, Dad, is the newspaper here yet? I need an update. I need the box scores.
Well, I used to look at the newspaper.
You went to college for that, so
for
I feel like
broadcasting, you never read.
The newspaper
journalism.
Was not during your time.
Oh. Yeah, like we used to get the Lowell Sun.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, maybe I'm older than
Courtney. Oh, so journalism wasn't part of your college classes.
It was a broadcasting journalism. Yeah, I took classes for that, but it wasn't really newspaper based.
No, but you know how they teach you about, like, you know, this is how, these are the words that, like, in radio, it's called teasing, right? So you learn about, like, oh, what's a tease?
I did take one radio class.
Or in radio, they tell you, hey, the audience changes every 15 minutes. So if you're in a class, maybe they would have said, oh, the reason why.
That's you've been bringing that one up a lot. That stuck with you.
Probably in Ken's last email.
you're on the audience changing every 10, 15 minutes. You've been on that lately.
That's what they tell me.
Yeah. All right, we got to go.
Oh.
I know.
Sad.
Great show, though, today. Yeah. Thanks to everybody who participated. We are back tomorrow morning at 6. It's a Patriots Friday, so Jelani Tavai with us at 7:15 tomorrow, and Pudge's Pals at 9 o'clock on tomorrow's show. Thank you for your patronage.